Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. Thank you, Father. We'll give you praise for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Turn your Bible quickly to Philemon chapter 1. Philemon 1:6. It says that the showing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement. Underline that, the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Underline that, from every to Jesus. Now, the Christian life is lived by knowledge. Okay? Knowledge is like the steering wheel of the car. I've said that to you severally in this church. You need it to effectively drive. Therefore, the Christian who is to be effective in the faith must come to an acknowledgement of every good thing which is in Christ. Now, at salvation, our identity changes before God. Okay, we were dead, we become alive. Ephesians 2:4-6. Ephesians 2:4-6. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. Now we were sinners, we become saints. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, some of you underline were, but you were washed, underline washed. You were sanctified, underline that sanctified. But you were justified, underline that as well, justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Titus 3:3, similarly there. It says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul calls the men in Christ a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Underline that, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Underline that as well. Behold, all things have become new. Underline that. All things have become new. That is, everything we were before salvation is gone. Hallelujah. In Christ, who we were has changed completely. Colossians 3:9-10. Colossians 3:9-10. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have, underline that you have, past tense, this has happened already. Put off the old man, underline that, put off the old man. The old man is who you were before salvation, a sinner, with his deeds, and have, underline that, and have, past tense, put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Now, do you notice that there is a difference between the old man and the new man? Follow that? And that difference between the old man and the new man is identity. Okay, look at verse 10 again. What is unique about the new man is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now, who created the new man? God did in Christ. So, the new man is created to resemble God. His identity changes. Paul says the old you died before God at salvation. Colossians 3:1-4. It says, if then you were raised with Christ. Underline that, you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. Underline that, you died. The you here is the old man. and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Underline that, from you to God. When Christ, who is our life, underline that, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So before God, sinner Josh is dead, amen. Sinner James is dead. Sinner Annabelle is dead, amen. That old you is dead. So God doesn't see you as a sinner anymore. When God looks at you, he sees Christ. Hallelujah. He is now our life before God. So do you see that our identity has changed before God? Okay. Paul speaks of our union with Christ's death in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 verse 3. He says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Underline that, baptized into his death. When a person is identified with Christ, he is also identified with Christ's death. So in God's eyes, it is as if that person, a sinner, was also crucified with Christ at Calvary. Romans 6 verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Underline that, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Underline that, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Underline that as well, from we to sin. Remember, your old man is you before salvation, the unregenerate man. So he is crucified with Christ and done away with. In Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul speaks of being crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Underline that. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That part of Paul, which was in enmity with God, was crucified with Christ. Paul says similarly, Galatians 6, verse 14. Galatians 6, 14. He says, but God forbid that I should boast except on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Underline that, I to the world. Paul is saying that in Christ, he has also died to the world. That unspiritual system that opposes God. No fellowship existed between he and the world any longer. It's a new identity. In Colossians 2 verse 11, Paul talks about a spiritual circumcision. Now, natural circumcision is the cutting off of the foreskin. The spiritual circumcision, Paul speaks of here, is the cutting off of the old man. Verse 11, it says, in him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So the line that made without hands, that is not natural, but putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Underline that, from putting to flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Underline that, the circumcision of Christ. So the old is gone, amen, cut off forever, never to be reattached to you ever again. Now this is true for every believer. Salvation changes our very nature. It bestows on us a new identity. So in Christ, the believer has a new identity. But the issue with most Christians today is that they have an identity crisis. Okay? They do not know who they are, therefore they cannot function properly. Okay? They haven't been told that they are now new men in Christ. Now, such a Christian can never do much for God. And this is why when Paul was going to address the Corinthians, the most sinful church in the New Testament, arguably, he kept on asking them, don't you know? Amen. Do you not know? The KJV says, know ye not? Now let's see that. Let's run through that quickly. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. He says, do you not know? The line that, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6, 1-3. He says, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints. Do you not know, underline that, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know, underline that, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 15, it says, do you not know, underline that, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? verses 19 to 20 of that same chapter. Or do you not know, the line there, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you are from God and you're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves? Underline that. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Underline that. From that to you. Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know. Underline that. You will know that you are not disqualified. So, see this. Paul is dealing with sinful believers. And his method, it points them back to their identity in Christ. He's asking them essentially, have you forgotten who you are? Most times, Christians struggling with sin are still going through an identity crisis. Okay? It's like a bird who thinks he's a fish. You know, such a bird won't fly, right? It will think it can only breathe underwater. That's how many Christians are today. This is why knowledge is so important in the Christian faith. You must know who you are and what you have in Christ. That's what Paul is saying in Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith might become effective by the acknowledgement, epignosis, accurate, precise knowledge and understanding of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So, effectiveness in your Christian walk is directly proportional to how much you know. Okay? Now, notice Paul's words here also. It says the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's what you are to know. Now, every good thing which is yours in Christ Jesus. That phrase, every good thing, pantos agatao in the Greek, can also mean every advantage. So, in Christ we have advantages, we have privileges, and we have benefits which are ours to enjoy. Okay, but we must know them to walk in them, enjoy them, and to be effective. Paul speaks of these privileges in Ephesians chapter 1. Please note that very quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. He calls them spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Underline that, bless us with every spiritual blessing. Underline that, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly in Christ. Every spiritual blessing here is what Paul calls every good thing in Philemon 1:6. He's referring to the same things. Now, Paul goes on to list this catalog of blessings. Now, the man in Christ, let's run through that quickly, is chosen, holy, and blameless before God. Verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, underline holy, and without blame, underline that, without blame, before him in love. The man in Christ is adopted as God's son. Verse 5 of that same chapter, having predestined us to adoption as sons, underline that, from predestined to sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The man in Christ is accepted. Verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted. Underline that, he made us accepted in the beloved. The man in Christ has forgiveness of sins and redemption. Verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The man in Christ has an inheritance in God. Verse 11, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Underline that, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will. The man in Christ has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verses 13 to 14 of that same chapter. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Underline that, from you the promise, who is the guarantee of inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Okay, and as we will see in this teaching, there are so many other good things which are bound in us and accrue to us by virtue of being in Christ. You know, at the end of this teaching, you will stop having an identity crisis. You will begin to see yourself for who you truly are. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise, thank him, we pick up from here.